Amen. Praise the Lord. So thankful for that tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. No matter where we are in life and in the world, rich, poor, doesn't matter. The blood reaches everyone. Amen. So thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. You glad to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. It certainly is good to be here. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Brother Doug, taking a little break tonight, so we're running on the spare tire again, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. I'm just glad that we can come and gather around the Word, and we've got a living Word tonight. Amen. We don't have a dead letter. We don't have a historical God, but we have a living God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you'd like to stand tonight, our sister Joyce, happy birthday. Amen. I was there. I remember. Amen. What a change. Amen. Amen. Trust we can all say that tonight. I'm not the same. I'm a new creature. Amen. Amen. If you can't say that, He's here tonight to change you. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to read out of the book of John, chapter 10 tonight. Looking forward to some rain tonight. Amen. Both natural and spiritual. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus speaking says, "Verily, verily I say unto you." And by the way, he wasn't just speaking to those that were in front of him. He's speaking to man throughout all the ages. Anyone who would read this, amen. "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And then skipping down to the same chapter to verse 25. "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Obviously, speaking to the Pharisees and the priests that were coming against him. Amen. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how thankful we are tonight, Lord, for your word. Lord, it gives us such courage tonight to know, Lord, that we're part of your sheepfold. Amen. To know that we've been called, Lord. Called of this great end time calling. And Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that once we enter in that sheepfold, no man can pluck us out of your hand. Lord, you won't lose a single one. Oh, tonight, Lord, it's rest, Lord. It's peace, Lord, knowing that you're in complete control. Lord, that we belong to you, Lord, that we're yours. Lord, we're trusting you tonight. Lord, in asking you that you would just have your way in this service, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word tonight. Lord, we pray that you bless our brother Doug, Lord. Lord, as he rests tonight, Lord, may you minister to him tonight. And Lord, may you minister to all those that are listening in, those that are here present. Father, your children everywhere tonight. We just want to commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So tonight I'd like to just speak on His voice. Amen, His voice. Because Jesus said the sheep will hear His voice. Amen. He said the sheep not only hear His voice, but they will follow Him because they know His voice. Amen. So it's not just hearing it, but it's knowing whose call, who's speaking, and following that voice. And He said, and they know not the voice of a stranger, and they won't follow after a stranger. Amen. Now, the picture here, of course, is shepherds and sheep. And, He's saying that the shepherd would come and they would open the door. He would call to the sheep and they would come out. Amen. And the shepherd would lead them into green pastures, lead them out wherever they're going to go to pasture for the day or for however long. And that they would be walking through the world. Amen. They would be walking through towns and markets or wherever they needed to go. But that they would be following the shepherd. So tonight I want to speak about His voice. Amen. His voice. Not just a voice, but His voice. Now, voice, we all know that. We all understand what a natural voice is. You're hearing my voice right now, right? My speaking voice. You're hearing that. But there's something greater than just the audible sound of a voice. Amen? There's the expression that comes with it. And actually, the definition of a voice is a medium or a method or a mode of expression. A way of expressing a word. Amen? Amen. So, for example, an example that's given is someone who represents people in government. That representative would become the voice of the people in the government. Now, it's not literally the people's voice speaking. But that person is giving is the conduit for their expression. Amen. Amen. It's the way that they can express what they want to see in the government through that representative. Maybe that's a bad example with our politics these days. Amen. But you understand what we mean. So we often think of voice as just speaking with our mouth. And certainly that's part of it. But voice is deeper than just the sound, the audible sound. We know that God's voice is His word. Amen? Because His word is the thoughts that He had that's then expressed to us. Is that right? And so then those thoughts expressed become a voice. Amen. We still together here tonight. So that voice is the final voice. His voice. It's the final voice for everything. Amen. He's the ultimate authority. Amen. So many voices in our day claim to be the authority. You've got the authority on politics. You've got the authority on, medicine, authority on this topic, on that topic, whatever. And everybody, many people claiming to be an authority, but when it all boils down and comes together, there's one final authority. Amen? Amen? And that's our God. Yes. His word. Yes. We have a final authority in our land. It's our Supreme Court. Right? And everything that happens in our country that has to do with the law, eventually, it all comes together, and that is the final voice in our nation when it comes to our laws. Whatever the Supreme Court says, that's it, right? Final authority. But our God is the final authority on everything. Amen. Brother, sister, your doctor, though they may be fine, they're not the final authority. Amen. Dr. Jesus is the final authority when it comes to sickness and healing. Amen. When it comes to morality and living right, the Word of God is the final authority. It doesn't matter what Hollywood says or what our culture says, the Word is the final authority. What God says, that's the way it is. Amen. These smart men that think that they can try and explain away God's Bible, and they say that, no, there's no creation, there's only, you know, evolution, and we can explain this and explain that. Someday, they're going to come face to face with the authority. Amen? And he's going to say, where were you when I formed the foundations of the earth, when I blew the stars out of my hands? Amen? Who are you? Right? He's the final authority. So he's the final voice over everything. Amen? If he says it, that makes it right. Amen. That settles it for me. Hallelujah. Amen. The thing is, that ultimate authority, that voice, not everyone can hear it. Now, everyone will hear it at some point. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But right now, here on this side, not everybody can hear that voice. Is that right? We know that Brother Branham tells us the story about that little eagle, right? And I think it was last Sunday we heard a song about that, right? That little eagle in the barnyard that was hatched under a chicken. He was hatched in a chicken yard. Amen? We know the story. And the mother eagle flew over and screamed out to that little baby eagle that had been raised as a chicken. All he knew was the chicken yard. All he knew was chicken scratch. Amen? Digging in the dirt, digging in the manure to find worms or whatever. But then he heard that eagle scream. Brother Branham said, it's like many sons of God today who don't know who they are. But at some point they heard a voice. Amen. Now, I want to break this down a little bit. Those chickens heard the eagle scream. Amen. The eagle, the little baby eagle, he heard the eagle scream, and the chickens heard the eagle scream. So it wasn't the sound that was the voice, although the sound carried the voice. Amen. We'll touch on that a little bit more later. Amen. But that sound of that voice that was speaking through the sound, that's what called to something down. He said something stirred inside of that eagle. Right? And he heard a voice saying, come up higher. You belong up here. You belong flying up above. Now, the eagle never said that. Right? The chickens, they didn't hear the eagle saying, hey, come fly with me. All they heard was the eagle scream. They didn't hear the voice. Amen? There was nothing inside of them that could translate that call into what it was really intended for. Because it was intended for that little eagle to hear and to be drawn upward. Is that right? Fly away where you belong. This is where you belong, up in the sky, not down in this chicken yard. So when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, everyone heard the sound of his speaking voice. Everyone. They all heard him. But they all didn't hear the voice. They all heard the sound coming out of his mouth. But only some of them had something inside to translate what that sound was really saying. And they were able to actually hear his voice. Amen? So it's clearly different, isn't it? From the sound to the actual voice that's speaking. Kind of like the touch. Right? The woman that had the blood issue came and touched the hem of his garment. And he said, who touched me? And they said, Lord, everybody's touching you. But he said, no, someone touched me. It was a touch. It was different than just a touch. Amen. The voice was different than just the sound. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, notice, he said, my sheep. I like that. Because that's possession. Right? That's attachment. These are my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They belong to him already. He said, you are my sheep before you were born. He was speaking about you and I. His sheep. Amen. He already possessed us. We already belong to him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Part of his fold, part of his flock. Amen. The child of God is unique because they have the ability to hear his voice. Amen. We should never take that for granted, brother, sister. Amen. It doesn't matter what the sound is. We hear the voice. Amen. It doesn't matter if the grammar is just right. It doesn't matter how flowing and flowery the words are. None of that matters. We're listening for the voice. Amen. To others, it was just words. But to them, they could hear it. Do you hear what he's saying to us? Do you hear the call? Amen? And the others couldn't. They couldn't hear. What a gift. Amen. You know, they talk, there's this kind of a funny saying, you know, about people that win the genetic lottery. You heard that saying before? Right? They're taller, stronger, faster, better looking, whatever, right? Athletes, you know, the biggest, tallest guy, whatever, the guy that can throw the ball the farthest, the best quarterback or whatever, he won the genetic lottery. He's faster than everybody else. He's the multi-million dollar man. Well, brother, sister, you talk about a gift.
Right.
None of that means nothing.
Yeah.
I'll take the ability, the gift of being able to hear his voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Born with it. They had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do with it either. Born with that ability, that gift. Amen. Amen. I would say talk about winning the lottery, but it has nothing to do with the lottery. It's God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, you're either a sheep or you're not. And if you are, you have the ability to hear. Oh, my. We can hear his voice. When he said to the onlookers, to the people that were following him, he said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no part in me, right? He said that and many departed. They just walked away. And he asked those that remained and he said, will you go also? And what did they say? Lord, where else shall we go? Basically, we have heard a voice. Amen. You're the shepherd with eternal life. Where are we going to go? All of these walked away, but we're hearing something. We're hearing a voice. Amen. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus is standing outside of the church doors, knocking, trying to get back in with Pentecost. Amen, Brother Branham said. With a Pentecostal experience, is that right? He said, if any man hear my voice. That means not all can hear his voice, not all will. Right? But he said, if any man would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and so on and so forth, right? So not everyone hears that call, brother, sister. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Amen. Let's read that scripture. Do we have that scripture? Matthew 13. Therefore, he says, I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and not understand. Why? Because they were hearing the sound, but not the voice. Amen. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. He's not talking about their physical ears. Right? They could hear him just fine. But their spiritual hearing, their faith sense, amen? Their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read this from the unveiling of God. He said the other day, Brother Fred Softman and Brother Tom Simpson, I don't know whether he ever got here or not, several of us was up at a Baptist church. And the minister said something that sounded pretty good. And all of us said, amen. And everybody in the church stretched up their neck and looked back to see. See, we had found a crumb that come from behind the Shekinah there, you know, and was kind of glad to get it. And we said, in other words, thank you, Lord. See, and when they did, these fellows was so veiled, they just laughed at it. They didn't know what it was all about. See, they're still veiled. So there's some inside and some outside, but God's in full view of us, hid, same now. So what was happening? They were hearing something. Amen. The word was being preached. The Baptists were sitting there listening to the same sound, the same word being preached, but they heard a voice. They heard God speaking back to them. Amen. Brother, sister, we've got to do that when we come to church. Amen. It's not just about reading our Bible and listening to a tape, listening to the message, listening to the preacher. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. It's about the voice that's trying to speak through the voice. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, they hear my voice, but he also said, they know my voice. Amen. They can distinguish his voice above all others. They know it. They're aware of it. Amen. All other voices are speaking to us, but they recognize his voice. Brother Branham said it like this. He says, they know his holler. Amen. When he hollers at the sheep, they know his holler. And I kind of can relate to that, having raised different kinds of animals, different kind of livestock, and they get used to a routine and they get used to your voice. And there's a certain voice that you use when it's time to eat, when you call them in. And man, I mean, any other time you can sit there and yell at them and they'll just look sideways at you, whatever, ignore you. But if you use that certain kind of voice that they're used to, that means it's dinner time. They come run. Man, you ever seen an old milk cow run, tails up, running? You think they're gonna knock you over, and they would if you're out in the field with them. But they know his holler. Amen. Brother Branham said that the children, the sheep, know the holler of God. Amen. They know his call. They know what it sounds like. Amen. They know it's feeding time. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go into the house of God because it's time to eat. Amen. The Spirit is calling. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read this statement out of the voice of God in these last days. He says, now, there's a voice today in the world of politics. That's a great voice. And people, absolutely, in this great day of politics, he says it's all mixed up in their churches and everything. And many times when we have just seen recently that the voice of politics is actually stronger than the voice of God in the churches. Amen. Or the American people would have never did what they just done. I suppose he's talking about electing a Catholic. Amen. If the voice of God would have been kept alive in the church, they'd have never made that mistakes. But the voice of politics is so much stronger in the earth today than the voice of God, until people sold their Christian birthright for a mess of popularity, education, and political power. It's such a shame to see it. The very thing that our nation was made, what it's made on, the people turned right back around and voted in the thing that we left in the other country. And the Plymouth Rock and the Mayflower and them, they come over and establish the great economy that we have. And it's the very thing we fought so hard to come out of. We put ourselves right back into its clutches because if the Bible speaks, it would be that way. Amen. Amen. So if we listen to the wrong voices, and there are many voices, not just politics, there are cultural voices and all kinds of wealth and of popularity, amen, of lukewarmness, right? All of political correctness, all kinds of voices out there, of intellectualism. But we can get into trouble, not just if we listen to those voices, but if we get distracted by those other voices, amen? Remember, there's only one voice that's the authority. Amen. Amen. But there are many voices in the land. You see, for instance, Cain, in the beginning, he heard the voice of God, right? He heard God speak to him and tell him what kind of sacrifice to make. Is that right? He actually heard the audible voice of God speaking directly to him, I suppose. Right? We don't know exactly how, but we know that he heard from God. Now, the problem is he didn't hear in his heart. Amen? If he heard, it was just with his ears only, or with his mind. But he didn't hear down in his heart. So he dismisses the voice of God, exchanging his own voice for it. His own desire. His own flesh. He allowed that voice to override the voice of God. Amen? But brother, sister, Abel knew his voice. And he hearkened to it. He listened to it. He obeyed it. He acted out. Amen? So, it's his voice must be rightly divided to us by faith, because there are all kinds of voices claiming to be his voice, but we have the true word. Amen. Let's look at this statement here from the same message further on down. He says, if a man hears the voice, now listen, catch this real good, don't fail. If a man hears the voice of something, and if it's proven to be the voice of God and on time, and then that proceeds forth from the man, heaven and earth will pass away. So he's saying, you know, if someone claims to be speaking the voice of God and it comes forth, right, then that's God's word. And heaven and earth will pass away, but that word can't pass away. Amen? Noah heard the voice and condemned the world, and they laughed in his face because his message didn't cope with their scientific achievements, but it rained and destroyed the whole world. See, his voice that went forth, the seed was laying right there. Every age it's been the same. Now, Noah had to deal with all kinds of voices of opposition. Amen. Science is the primary one that the prophet brings out, right? Where they say, look, no, there's no rain. There's no water up there. There's no rain. He said, we can shoot a satellite. We can shoot a rocket up there. We've got all kinds of sensors and things, and we can tell that there's no water up there. That's a voice, right? But God's voice was the final answer. Amen. Amen. Because not only did none of those other ones survive, but we don't even talk about them today. We're talking about Noah's, the voice of God through Noah. Amen? That's how insignificant they are. Nobody even knows who any of those men are. But we know Noah's name, right? Because he stayed with that voice. Amen. We know his voice. It's not knowing. It's not by reasoning. It's not by intellect. There wasn't anything in Noah that could argue with them. He couldn't come up with any evidence. But he had heard a voice and he knew it was the voice of God. Amen. What is that? Faith. That's what we call faith, right? When you hear the word of God and you receive it as that's God speaking to me, the voice of God, and I know that that's for me, that's faith. It's revelation. It drops into your heart. Amen. All of those words that we use. Look at this in the message to take on the whole armor of God. He says, doesn't it sound good intellectually? But you know there's something like... Okay, let me back up just a little bit here. So this scene is the scene where all the prophets have prophesied, go up, you know, go and attack the enemy and go take back, you know, the ark. And they prophesied that Israel would be victorious, right? And Jehoshaphat was there with Ahab and he's like, don't you have just one more prophet, right? You remember the story? And all of these prophets were prophesying. No, the Lord said this. The Lord said this. Victory, victory. The Lord said this. Lord's, and Micaiah, sorry, spelled right, said he prophesied what the Lord actually said. One against, was it 400? Right? One against 400. One voice. Okay, so he says, didn't it sound, or doesn't it sound good intellectually? But you know that there's something like that, it doesn't always strike a man of God. I mean, they could say it over and over and over and over, 400 times, right? And it, what a consensus. I mean, everybody take a vote. Yep, 400. But it just didn't strike him. Jehoshaphat looked around and he said, is this all we've got? Can you imagine? Why, we've got 400 out here. They all agree, all in one accord. The whole school is out here, all the seminaries. All of them's here. But he said, it just didn't ring out. You see, for a son of God, he hears the voice. Speaking through the voice. And that's what he was listening for. He wasn't listening for the physical sound. He wasn't listening for them even to say, thus saith the Lord. He was listening for it to ring. Amen. Amen. He said it just didn't ring out somehow. He said that was that predestinated seed, you see. He said, haven't you got just one more? I'm still waiting to hear the voice. He said, yeah, I've got one more, but I hate him. I hate him. So, but none of that mattered to Jehoshaphat. He was still waiting for the voice. He was waiting to hear from God. So I hate him because he's always prophesying evil against me. Oh, brother, God bless that man. He said, here's every one of our organizations and every one of them in one accord, like the UN up there now. You know, I might just interject this here. Like, how many prophets, so-called, have been prophesying Trump's going to win the election. Trump's going to be reelected over and over and over and over. They're on record. Hundreds of them. And this is not political. This is just speaking about people misusing, claiming to speak on behalf of the Lord. Amen? If it comes to pass, then the Lord said it. If it doesn't, then the Lord didn't say it. That's what the Bible says. Right? It's easy to judge. And I'm glad they went on record. Amen? That, brother, sister, that's why we have such confidence in Brother Branham. Over and 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 over. And I could go on. It happened just exactly the way that the Lord said it would. When he said, thus saith the Lord. And he said, if it doesn't, then you can call me a false prophet. But it did every time. And they want you to have confidence in them. Well, maybe it's not right now. Maybe it's a future thing. And just, you know, where's your confidence and your faith? Well, if you'd show me, you know, if you could show me where you said, thus saith the Lord, and it came to pass, if I could get the voice, then I would believe. Amen. That's why we can have confidence in this ministry, speaking about things that are to come, because we've seen over and over and over where it's proven, vindicated, that it has happened just exactly that way. And God does it that way on purpose, right? He brings things in a prophet's life that he can prophesy to show, to vindicate that prophet, to show that he's with him and that he's speaking through him. So that we can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, he said that we would know not the voice of strangers. Amen. And a stranger they will not follow. That's a promise.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that. Amen. The sheep will not be led astray by a stranger. They know his voice and they won't follow another. Amen. That they might get distracted and bombarded by this voice or that voice. They might be buried under sin. They might have come through circumstances of life. They might go through all kinds of things. Amen. But they will eventually end up in his sheepfold. They will not follow a stranger. They will hear his voice. They will end up there safe. Forever. Amen. I'm so thankful for that tonight, aren't you? Amen. In that fold, brother, sister, we can enjoy his blessings. There's safety there. We're there with him. We're with the good shepherd. Amen. He leads us into green pastures, the Bible says. Amen. We drink from living water. We're refreshed in the spirit. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're in his sheepfold. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the elect of God will not be deceived. And isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. That they cannot be deceived because their seed remains in them. See how those scriptures tie together. He said, a stranger they will not follow. Why? Because they hear with the seed. Amen? That's the gift that's down in them that allows them to hear his voice. So she will follow his voice and not cunningly devise fables. She won't follow a stranger who's made up doctrine. Amen? Think about it, brother, sister. You tonight, you're sitting under a ministry and a pastor that's been rolling back the reproach of unbelief with a sword. Amen. He's been swinging a sword around here. And I'm not talking about that shiny, pretty sword, you know, that's kind of scary. But it's a spiritual sword. Amen. And he's been taking out that sword and cutting away unbelief. And what he's been cutting away is doctrines of men and creeds of the message.
Amen.
See, I thought we left behind creeds and dogmas. No. Creeds and dogmas are just part of man's religion. There are just as many creeds and dogmas in the message, just about, amen, as there are in others. And so he's been cutting those away. You've been sitting under that ministry. Why do you stay here and listen to that? Because you're hearing a voice.
Amen.
Why do others, they hear that? I don't want any part of that. I just want to press play. Right? Because they're not hearing that voice. Amen? Things men has interjected into this pure word. Why do you receive it? He said, a stranger they will not follow. Those things that man has interjected, it just kind of clangs instead of rings. Amen? It just doesn't have that sound. It isn't the voice of the shepherd. The true children won't follow those ideas. Amen? You know, I mentioned those that are just pressing play. When they do that, they say that they're hearing the voice of God. Right? Whoa. Everybody kind of... They've even got the name, voice of God, right? They say that press play to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is not on a tape recorder. Amen? Amen? The voice, what you're hearing is a prophet speaking out a message, preaching a message on that recording, and that message is conveying to you the voice of God. Amen. We already established that it's not the audio, right? It's not the sound. Someone could hear the same thing and not hear the voice of God. In fact, I think Brother Billy Paul tells a story one time. I think it was a dentist or something like that. And they shared a book, a message book. And I don't remember all the details. But anyway, the kind of the upshot of it was that he said, I don't want to ever read anything like that again. And he said, why not? He said, because he called that man in that book just called me a buzzard. Right? And he said, well, that's funny. I read the same thing and he called me an eagle. Right? So you can hear the same thing. Men have been reading this Bible for thousands of years. But how many actually hear the voice? Even in Jesus' day, if you heard Jesus preach, right? We just went through it. Only some heard the voice. So just because you're listening to a tape doesn't mean you're hearing the voice. Any more than if you listened to Jesus, you actually heard the voice. Oh my. You understand what we're saying? The voice speaking to the heart. The voice speaking to the inside. It's the voice within the voice. You can hear that voice when you get down to read your Bible. You can hear that voice when you get in your closet to pray. You can hear that voice when you listen to ministry. You can hear that voice when you listen to the prophet. There was a special voice that he was speaking, a special message, right? Calling out the church, the bride out of the churches and so on. We know that his special ministry. But it's the voice of God speaking to you. Amen. Speaking through the recording. Speaking through the man. Speaking through the brother or the sister that just spoke a word, a fit word in due season. Amen. That's praying for you. That voice speaking through a scripture. How many times have you read a Bible verse that you read 100 times? Right, you get down and read it and suddenly, man, something happens. What happens? There's a voice speaking. Right, all the other times you're just reading it. But suddenly that one time, God decided to speak to you. His sheep won't be turned to the left, to the right. They won't be turned away, but they're dwelling in his sheepfold, discerning the two spirits that are in the church. Amen. Staying right with the voice. Our strength isn't in how well we examine the false voices, brother, sister. This is important. Because we can get caught up in, well, this false doctrine or this or that, and we can get our focus on those things and how we can prove that they're wrong and all that. Our strength lies in how clearly we hear his voice. Brother Branham said that the way to detect a fake counterfeit dollar bill is by handling the real. Amen. Listening to his voice constantly, clearly, how closely, how focused you are on his, what he's speaking to you, his voice. Amen. Let's read out of the Church Age book. This is the Laodicean Church. He says, if you are still in, sorry, not the Laodicean Church. I skipped ahead. Smyrnian Church. That's the right one. Hold this carefully in mind. Now take the next step. He says redeem means to buy back. Right? And we know, we've been through that, that it had to be owned originally to be redeemed. Right? He says it restores to the original owner. You had to be his for him to redeem you. Excuse me. Amen. God, by his death, the shed blood, bought back his own. He bought back the spoken word seed bride. He says, my sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. He says, you always were a sheep. Yes. Hallelujah. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That's impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind and there's no change in species. Amen. Somebody should tell the evolutionists that. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word. You know, I want to pause there for a second, because that's what the evolutionists say evolution does. It changes from, you evolved from a bacteria. Right, you were a little single cell organism, then you evolved into a frog, and then you evolved into a fish, and then from a fish you turned into a lizard, and then from a lizard you turned into a monkey, and a monkey into a person. Or whatever. I probably skipped a few steps. I don't know. But the point is that somehow you went from this species to that. Right? It's not only not the way that creation was made. But it doesn't happen, right? And Brother Branham says that's... And the problem is that churches try to evolve Christians. Right? They try and take you out of the world and you just keep listening over time. You know, you'll just evolve and pretty soon you'll get, you know, and boop. Suddenly, you're a sinner over here, and here you're a new creation made in the image of Christ. One of these things is not like the other. Amen. The frog turned into a monkey. And so, evolution is not God's plan. Creation. Amen. That's why his children are birthed. They're born, they're created. New creations, new and distinct from the old. Amen. Just look at this sister here, 2 years ago. New creation, new and distinct from the old. Amen. Amen. He says, you always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog that got turned into a sheep. That's impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind, and there is no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God, and then expressed in the flesh, again, remember, Brother Doug's been preaching about this, there's no change in species. So if you're a son or a daughter of God, you always were part of God. You came from God. You're part of his species. Amen. Made in the image of God, the Bible says. Then expressed in the flesh. There had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us. Hallelujah. A day when we would hear his voice. And hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize, whoa, we're the sons of God. Amen. We heard his voice. Amen. Think about that realization, right? Wait a minute. I can hear his voice. Can you hear it too? Do you hear that? Do you know what that means? The fact that you can hear it. Do you know what that means? Not everybody can hear it. Amen. Thinking about Brother Doug talking about that loud whining in his RV. Man, can't you hear that thing? It's so loud. How can you even sleep in here? Couldn't hear it. Didn't have ears to hear. Amen. So glad it doesn't apply in the natural, right? But as sons of God, we can hear his voice. That in and of itself, brother, sister, is evidence. Devil tries to tell you, you're not a child of God. Who do you think you are? I heard his voice.
Amen.
I hear him. He speaks to me. He called me out. He says we become aware. Our Father is calling us. That eagle screaming out, you don't belong in that chicken yard. And recognize that we're sons of God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to me. All right, you look around. Yeah, you hear the voice? You're the one he's talking to. You don't hear him, then you're not it. But if you're hearing it, he says we hear his voice. And then we cried out, as did the prodigal son, save me, O my Father. I'm returning to thee. Brother, sister, we're staying in line in this hour. We're not paying attention or giving heed to false voices. Amen? To strangers. But we're staying with the Word. The Word that called us out in the beginning. The Word that called us out of the world, that called us out of sin, that called us out of that chicken yard, that same voice is calling us higher tonight. Amen? Why would I want to leave this sheepfold? Why would I want to go listen to some other voice? There's nothing greater than what we have tonight. There's nothing greater. Amen? There's nothing more solid than the Word of God that we are standing on tonight. And we are standing on a firm foundation. We know who we are. We know what we're speaking of. It's vindicated. Satan has nothing to offer me. Amen? He has nothing to offer me that remotely compares to what is I have in Christ. Amen? But you see, there are false spirits in the land, and Satan, through false spirit, would try and point out faults in the delivery system. He wants to point out faults in the sound, the voice, the vessel that carries the words. Whether that's a preacher, a pastor, a prophet, or whatever. Right? He wants to point out all of this problem and that problem. But that's not the voice that we're listening to. Amen. Amen? I'm not listening to Brother Branham. I'm listening to the voice that was speaking. I hear it in my heart. Amen? Let's, just a couple more quotes here. The voice of God in this last day. He says, Moses heard the voice of God. He was full of theology. He knew all the ins and outs, but it failed. He heard the voice of God, and Moses was never the same. No man is never the same. You might hear in your ears the voice speaking, but when you hear in your heart the voice speaking, see, then you're hearing. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the voice of men. We're talking about the voice in our speaking to our hearts. Amen? He says, then you're hearing. Then you're actually hearing. You don't see with your eye. You look with your eye. You see with your heart. Right. You see something, say, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You do not hear with your ears. You hear with your heart. Many times your ears hears the true voice of God, and it falls off like water off a duck's back. But when you really hear, you hear with your heart. And then the Laodicean church, he says, if you are still in any doubt about this, ask God by his Spirit to fill you and lead you, for the very elect can't be fooled. Did you get that? There isn't any man can fool you. Paul could not fool any elect had he been wrong. And in that first Ephesian age, the elect there could not be fooled, for they tried the false apostles and prophets and found them to be liars and put them out. Hallelujah. His sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Notice he says Paul's not exempt. Right? Doesn't have anything to do with man, prophet, apostle. Right? It's about him speaking to his children. Thank God Paul wasn't wrong. He had the word of God. Amen? But just the same, if he had been wrong, his children, Jesus would have found a way to speak to his children otherwise. The problem with many people, though, is that they have itching ears. And they want to hear what they want to hear. Amen? They want to hear what they want to hear spoken back to them, what they already are thinking in their heart, or what their flesh has already decided, what their mind has figured out, what they've decided they want, that's what they want to listen to. They don't want to hear a voice lead them. They want to hear a voice confirm them. Right? The flesh, our flesh, is out of the picture. Right? When it comes to hearing the voice, the flesh doesn't have anything to do with it. This is something that deals with the soul. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. Because I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to, with my mind, try and reason it and whatever. Just listen. Amen? Does it make that certain sound? Is that the voice that's been leading me? Amen? Is that the one that called me up? Come up higher. Amen. So, by listening to his voice, brother, sister, we're being united. Amen? That is how God is uniting his church. Think about that. Amen? Brother Brown told us it's a uniting time. We know that it's a great time of uniting and getting together. As Brother Doug says, it's easy for people to get together around a lot of things. People can get together around political views or around sports teams or around hobbies or interests or whatever, around family ties, whatever, right? Things that they have in common. Maybe just people that they like. It's easy to get around and to unite around those things, but mostly, it's interesting, actually, if you look at it, mostly what people get, some of the most powerful uniting forces are shared experiences. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you look at, I like to read historical books a lot, and so I've read a lot of books about World War II, and It was a tremendous time because everybody was mobilizing for war, and there were men being thrown together, and they were building whole divisions and units, just building this army so quickly, and they would throw all these men together, and even so it happens now, I suppose, where you have people coming from all different walks of life, right? All different education, socioeconomic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, whatever, they all get thrown together. And they have to work together to become a cohesive unit. And that goes so far. But then when they get into battle, right, and they've lost brothers, right, and they think of them as brothers. They're in a battle together. It's such a powerful experience that they shared together. They may not have anything in the world else in common. But if they have that in common to this day, they will get together. They remember those brothers in arms because that was such a powerful shared experience that they have, that they unite around it. Sure. It's a powerful uniting force. Well, brother, sister, we, if we're not careful, as Christians, there's lots of things we unite around, right? We have a common experiences in church, right? Either you grew up in church, or you come to church, and you know, we listen to the message, and so we know the stories, right? We speak kind of a common language, common terminology, right? We dress modestly, and so we have that in common, right? We have all these shared things. These are all just shared Christian church experiences. Amen? That's not what we unite around. That's not what unites the bride. But if we're not careful, that's how we unite. That's how churches and people get together, right? Because they have these things in common. Amen? You understand what I mean? But that is not how God is building his church. Although there's nothing wrong with that, right? But that is not the unity. And sometimes, you know, maybe we have special meetings and welcome. We just love to be with believers and da-da-da. We have to be careful that it's not unity around those shared human experiences. Oh, we love music, and so we sing worship songs, and, you know, and so we unite together around that. That's not how God is building his church. The way that God is uniting his body is because they all hear the same voice. Amen? That's what is uniting us. You hear his voice, I hear his voice, it's saying the same thing. That alone, that is a shared experience, right? He spoke to me out of his word. Man, I was reading this scripture, and man, the Spirit of God, he spoke to me. Now, maybe he didn't speak to me about that verse, but I know what you're talking about. Even now, some of you are nodding your head, like, yeah, man, I know what you mean. God spoke to me too. Amen? Because you've had that experience. Amen. You know what? I was sick, and man, the devil was just running my mind all, you know, this way and that, telling me I'd never get well, and the doctor said this, and suddenly he came on the scene and he healed me. Amen? And everybody else has been healed. Hallelujah. Amen. I know the healer too. Amen. Amen. I've heard that still small voice speak to my heart and say, child, you're healed. Amen. Amen. I've heard that voice too. I know what it is. Amen. She is united because she is hearing and following the same voice. In the conflict between God and Satan, Brother Branham says, the bride must be united, unified together by the word. And then what does he say? My sheep know my voice. And this is his voice on the printed word. You see, brothers and sisters, that takes it to a different level, doesn't it? Because if you just say the word, you say, well, look, we've had this word for 2,000 years. The Presbyterians have this word. The Baptists have this word. We're not uniting with them. Right? It's more than just the printed word. It's the voice. Speaking this word, making this word live. He says, all right, unified by the word. She makes herself ready. Now, I'll take it to another level. There are people listening to this message who aren't hearing the voice. Amen? Not everybody that claims to be in the message, listens to a tape, is hearing that voice. He says, unified by the word, she makes herself ready, not with the regular creed like Esther. When Esther was to be chosen to stand before the king, she didn't adorn herself with all the things, but she adorned herself with a sweet, meek spirit. And that's what the bride's adorning herself with all the fruits of the spirit following it. What she got? Assembling together in the fellowship of the word. Amen. Fellowship of the word. That's right. Fellowshipping, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus tonight. Now look, brother, sister, that's not fellowshipping around music. That's not fellowshipping around any other message trapping thing, right? Whatever it is. Church meetings, getting together, any of that. Fellowshipping of the word. He says, that's right, fellowshipping, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus tonight, one accord, one place, one spirit, one mind, one hope, one God, one purpose. Amen. See, there you are. Every time the Bible says anything, we say amen, punctuating every word with amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything is amen, amen. Right on down. See in fellowship. Now, as Brother Branham, as Brother Baker has said many times, it's not just being a parrot. And it's not saying amen. 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 I'm not going to say women. Amen. So it's not just saying the word, right? He says punctuating every word with amen. It's not just saying amen. It's that word coming into your heart, that voice speaking, and then your life living it out. That's punctuating it. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I got another one here. We'll get to that in a minute. So, uniting time. Amen? Uniting by hearing the same voice. One of the most powerful forces in nature that causes uniting is a magnet. You ever seen really powerful magnets? They're really, really powerful magnets. So much so that if you let them, you just let go, and let one smash into the other, they'll shatter because the force is so great. They're so powerful. And the thing that's amazing to me about a magnet is you don't have to hook it up to a battery, right? We have lots of powerful things. We have hydraulics and big engines and all these things, but you got to put gas in it, or you got to add electricity, you got to add some energy to it, something. A magnet, man, is just there. It's just like power that's ready to be unleashed. But you have to have the right material. Amen? Whatever is being attracted, only certain things are attracted by a magnet. Right? You put a magnet near plastic, the plastic doesn't care. Right? I don't hear anything. Right? Put it wood near wood, the wood says, I don't know what you're talking about. But put it near iron, and the iron goes, there's a voice that's calling me. Amen? And there's something down at that, let's like at the atomic level or something. Right? It's something in what it's made of that it just gets drawn. Got to be made of the right material. Amen. When you're made of the right material, the voice, that magnet begins to move. Amen. And it begins to draw and to pull, and you can't help it. Amen. You're made of that material. You're drawn. When that voice says, come up higher. Child, you know, you're not made for this down here in Laodicea. Come up higher. Come dwell with me in heavenly places. Man, there's something in you. I don't know. It just pulls me. I'm made for that. That's my material. Amen? Pulls you out of this earthbound existence. Come up higher, heavenly places. Amen? It's pulling us into our position as sons and daughters of God, speaking to us. Amen. Man, let me just finish this up. Laodicean church says he is sending someone, I don't know who that someone is, who is so far from organization, education, and the world religion, a world of religion, that is John the Baptist and Elijah of old. He will hear only from God, and he will have thus saith the Lord, and speak for God. He will be God's mouthpiece, and he, as it is declared in Malachi 4:6, will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Praise the Lord. He will bring back the elect of the last day. Ooh, this is where we come in. Amen. And they will hear a vindicated prophet give the exact truth as it was with Paul. And he will restore the truth as they had it. And those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord and be his body and be his voice and perform his works. Hallelujah. Do you see it? Amen. Those elect will be his voice. Why? Because his voice is what they've heard. Amen. Wasn't John told in the book of Revelation, eat the little book and then prophesy again as a symbol of the bride? Amen. She's not only just to hear the voice and heed to it and live it and be drawn by it and let it lead her and guide her, but then she begins to manifest that voice. She begins to live out what that voice produces. Amen. He speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, all the things that are said in the Word of God, the manifestation of the character of God. That is the voice. His voice being lived out. Look at this. He says, a momentary consideration of church history will prove how accurate this thought is. In the dark ages, the word was almost entirely lost to the people. But God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. Think about that. They spoke for God. They were his voice. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time, but they organized, and again the pure word was lost, for the organization tends towards dogmas and creeds and not the simple word, and they could no longer speak for God. They didn't have his voice anymore. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles read and known of all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years until in this last day there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Amen. Just as the Lutherans were the voice, spoke for God in their time, the Wesleyans, they took his revelation and became living epistles, read of all, known of all men for their generation. So we become the voice of God to this final age. It's got to be the final one, the final voice, because it's the final age. Amen. They, under their messenger, so it's not just the messenger. He's part of it for sure. Has a huge part of it, of course. But it's those people that receive and hear the voice. They become the final voice. Yes, sir, he says the church is the church, the natural church, the organized church, he says, is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's its own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her, and he will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her. The voice of God will be in her. Amen. Yes, it is, for it says in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear direct from God. Direct from God. As at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? They stood up and said, men, look, you guys. They said, what, men and brethren, what must you do to be saved? You crucified this Christ. This is what you must do. They heard directly from God. What was it? It was the voice of God in his people. He said the voice of God will be in her. Revelation, it's 22, right? Last chapter of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The voice of God speaking at the very end. Once more, the world will hear direct from God. That's powerful. as at Pentecost. But of course, that word bride will be repudiated, as in the first age. It will be rejected. The voice of God in her will be rejected, but she will be that final voice that speaks out. That is the last voice. The Spirit and the bride say, come. His voice through His church. Hallelujah. Prophesy again. Amen. Brother, sister, I'm so thankful for that voice tonight, aren't you? That voice, think about the voice that Lazarus heard. He didn't hear, how his ears were like rotting. He couldn't hear Jesus' natural voice. But he heard the voice of God call his name. Amen. Brother Branham said it like this. He said, you know, that same voice that spoke to you and turned you around, called you out of the world, turned your life around, that same voice. He says that same voice is calling, come up higher. Amen. The same voice that said turn around, the same voice that said follow me. That same voice that says come out of her, my people. That's the same voice that will say come away. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you're hearing it now, you're going to hear it then. Amen. It's the same voice. If you go by the way of the grave, you're going to hear that voice. That voice is going to call you out of the grave someday. That same voice that's speaking to you tonight, that same voice. Amen. That called you out of sin. That same voice will call you out of the grave, or it'll call you to a new body. Oh, hallelujah. Not a different one. The same one we've been following. Oh, glory to God. Brother, sister, this is a sure word tonight. We don't need to go looking around for something better. Amen. We just need to open our ears, our spiritual ears, and listen. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Man, if you're made of the right material, amen, you can't help but hear it. You didn't make yourself hear it. He gave you that. We should be thankful for that tonight. I'm so grateful. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so thankful tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, I look around at the world and I see people just running to and fro, and they don't even know who they are, where they're going, what they're doing. They don't understand things that are happening around them, and just aimless and just no direction, Lord. But Father, your word speaks of something greater for your children. Lord, and I hear your voice speaking to your word to me, calling, come up higher, live in this heavenly realm, live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful for the ability to hear your voice tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your sheep, Lord. Thank you for being the good shepherd tonight. Lord, I pray that you just bless my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just help them to know, Lord, that just to be able to hear is a great blessing. Maybe they haven't fully surrendered to you, Lord. Maybe they haven't even come, Lord God, and surrendered their life to you. But if they can hear you calling, oh God, it means so much to be able to hear the shepherd's call. But you said it's not just those that hear, but it's those who hear and follow. We've got our part to do as well, Lord. You do the calling, and Lord, we answer. We say, Lord, here am I. I'm yours, Lord. I surrender to you. I give my life to you, Lord. And I know that you'll never leave me or forsake me. You'll always lead me, Lord. You'll lead me through shady green pastures. You'll lead me through the mountains, through the valleys, the ups and downs of life, Lord. You'll always be there, the good shepherd. Father, I pray that you just be with each one tonight. Lord, may you just take this little simple thought tonight, Lord. Lord, just move in our hearts, Lord, and you do the speaking, Lord. Lord, you know that even tonight, as I've been preaching your word, Father, it doesn't mean a thing, Lord, for me to say any human words, any English words, Lord, except you come and your spirit come and speak to every heart. Even as I speak natural words, you speak to the heart. I pray that, Lord, that you've been doing that tonight and that you'll continue to do that, Lord, because we know that that's how you work, Lord. That's how you speak to your people. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done, Lord. Lord, we know time is short. My, we just see things of this world just shaping up, just the way it's been prophesied, Lord, and that's no surprise to us. It might put us on edge, Lord, in our natural being, but Lord, our spirits are calling out, Lord. We know that there's a kingdom, Lord, that we're part of. We're not part of this old world. We're not part of Laodicea. This is not our home. Lord God, we're looking up, Lord. We're looking to you tonight. Thank you, Father. Pray you just have your way in each one's life tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns unending. Amazing grace. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? My chains are gone. Hallelujah. I've been set free. My God, my Savior. Oh, He's changed me. Thank you, Lord. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, it's amazing. Let's sing that again. My chains are gone, my chains are gone. Hallelujah, aren't you thankful that your chains are gone tonight? Amen, you're free.